Open enrollment is underway once again for health insurance plans under Obamacare. We're answering your questions about Obamacare. This is Florida Matters.
Support for Florida Matters comes from the Hospitals of BayCare Health System, providing more than 100 health seminars, classes, and events each month. BayCare's mission is to build a healthier Tampa Bay. Register for a complimentary health seminar, class, or event at baycareevents.org.
From the Donna Studio at WUSF Public Media, I'm Carson Cooper. This is the third year that Americans must be covered by a health plan, whether it's an Obamacare plan or not. If you choose not to have coverage, you have the option of paying a fine, and that fine got bigger this year. During last year's open enrollment, Florida led the nation in Marketplace signups, around 1.3 million. But as Lottie Watts with Health News Florida reports, that does not mean everyone who tried to buy a plan at healthcare.gov was able to do so.
For much of this year, Sarah Goodrich of Lakeland has gone without health insurance, despite trying over and over again to complete enrollment on healthcare.gov.
For the last 6 months, all of the agents have been telling me something else. Is the issue resubmit here? There's an address error. It's your birthday. For some reason, that would affect my application. And I just said, I am trying to follow the rules here, and you guys aren't helping, and I can't do it. I don't know what to do.
She's a former teacher and now a stay-at-home mom with two children. She helps her husband with this small exterior cleaning business. And when she logged onto healthcare.gov, she found out her income qualifies her for tax credits that lower her monthly premium down to $45 a month after those tax credits are applied.
We did get approved for that and signed up for 2 months. But within those 2 months, they could never verify our documents of income. And they couldn't tell me where the error was.
This is important because enrolling through the marketplace is the only way for her to get help with the monthly premiums. She says dozens of hours spent on the website, on the phone, and help in person with navigators still couldn't fix the issue.
If I could afford $650 to pay Humana for health insurance, I wouldn't need the marketplace.
She says she's not as worried about getting sick. It's breaking the law that goes against her nature. She says she had her identity stolen a few years ago and wonders if that may be part of the problem.
In the end, it wasn't ever resolved. It wasn't fixed. I had to cancel my insurance.
Now she's wondering if she'll be fined for going without health coverage under the Affordable Care Act.
And if there's a way to not get fined, that would be wonderful. But if there's a way to get health insurance easily, that would be even better.
The fee for going without health coverage is increasing to $695 per person or 2.5% of yearly household income, whichever is greater. In some cases, though, people can apply for an exemption. Jody Ray oversees navigators or in-person assisters across Florida.
And a navigator can help with that and determine whether, you know, they think an exemption is likely and also help a consumer fill out the application for an exemption.
According to the Kaiser Family Foundation, about 2.8 million Floridians are uninsured. About 800,000 of them qualify for tax subsidies to lower the cost of monthly premiums but haven't signed up. Again, Jody Ray.
We want to make sure that those individuals that we still haven't enrolled that are eligible for financial assistance, that we are providing assistance to them and we are reaching them.
Healthcare.gov was plagued by crashes when it launched in 2013. With the third open enrollment period now underway, the site has gotten some long-awaited technology upgrades, including easier window shopping and out-of-pocket cost estimators.
Is our system going to be perfect? Absolutely not. Is it better than last year? Absolutely.
Kevin Cunahan is the CEO of healthcare.gov, which people in Florida and three dozen other states use to shop for health insurance.
Our system is faster with 40% fewer servers than we had a year ago. So every year we believe that our system is going to become better, faster, cheaper, and more stable.
Despite their efforts, Sarah Goodrich says she's given up hope that she'll have health coverage when 2016 starts.
I still have that inside me where I'm like, I have to do this because it's the law and it's what you have to do, but I'm not going to do it during the holidays. I will wait until next year. I just can't take this task on. It's not as simple as making a phone call and getting insurance like they say it is.
Enrollment on healthcare.gov ends January 31st, 2016. For Health News Florida, I'm Lottie Watts.
Let's say hello to our panel now. Jody Ray, Program Director for Florida, covering kids and families at USF. She oversees healthcare.gov navigators across the state. Eric Brown is an insurance agent at Brown Insurance Group in Tampa and WUSF News Director and Editor of Health News Florida, Mary Shedden. Welcome to Florida Matters.
Hi there.
Great to see you. Well, Jody, let me start with you first there, since we just heard Lottie's piece on trying to enroll at healthcare.gov. Sarah Goodrich has said she gave up. She's not going to do anything, at least before the holidays, adding it's not as simple as making a phone call. And you say what?
Well, without having sat down with her, you know, I can only speculate, you know, some of the steps that she went through. I would say to her, it would be a great idea to get her with a navigator to look at possibly, first of all, getting an appeal in, which in part will protect her while they're trying to resolve that. Also, if it's an issue that can't be resolved, you know, looking at do we need to go through an exemption process? And, yeah, you know, we want to be able to protect her for doing the right thing. And I think making sure that she's with a, you know, a sister that knows what they're doing would help her, would go a long way to helping her.
Because it doesn't sound like it's a computer problem this year like it was in previous years. It's simply the system itself. She can't get things confirmed or, you know, so that's got to be really frustrating.
Well, she did indicate that she had some previous issues with her identity. Surely that's potentially a possibility that could have complicated things,
yeah,
which would make that circumstance a different, you know, creating different complications for her.
Mary Shedden, you recently met with the namesake of Obamacare. That would be President Obama in Washington last week. He was speaking to a few select reporters around the nation in an effort really to do what?
Well, the president invited reporters from five different cities to talk about the third year of healthcare.gov enrollment. In particular, Tampa is one of 20 cities they're putting in a White House Healthy Communities Challenge. They're trying to increase enrollment here in Tampa, where I believe the uninsured rate is around 15%, and that's pretty comparable to the rest of the state of Florida as well.
Now, state lawmakers here have never warmed up to the idea of expanding Medicaid, something 18 other states have also rejected, and something that the president pointed out to you.
Hopefully the people of Florida begin to recognize over the next year, 2 years, 3 years, that it makes no sense for states to essentially refuse help from the federal government.
One question, I don't know if you can answer this, but did the president invite reporters from those 18 states that did not expand Medicaid, or do you even know about that?
It was a mix. There was Seattle, Dallas, Kansas City, Tampa were represented. The key thing, I think, the message I was getting for this year was the administration really wants to focus on the people who are eligible for enrollment. They're frustrated and they're continuing to take on challenges such as Medicaid expansion in Florida. It's not passed 3 years in a row. It's a question mark if it will be brought up in Florida's legislature that starts in January. So they're really focusing on those hard-to-get people. And it may be people like Sarah who've had troubles getting confirmed in the system, or it may be individuals who haven't been identified yet. And I think that's the challenge that Jody is facing, which is a little different than people who just never had insurance before. The group they're identifying is a lot more narrow this year.
Do you sense that lawmakers are just giving up on this? I mean, that supporters of the Medicaid expansion are giving up on this fight in Tallahassee and it may not come up this year?
I don't think they'll give up. But given the political environment, I would say the legislature, it's a lot of the same players are in place. And so passing it's going to be as difficult as it's been the last 3 years.
Jody, I want to get to you, Eric Brown, in just a moment. Jody Ray, you're shaking your head. No, you think that fight will be taking place in Tallahassee in January.
I do. I talked to some of the health advocates out there across the state, and I still see a commitment among the folks on the ground that, you know, this is needed. This is needed more than ever. They're not willing to give up on this effort to try to see if we can move the needle in Florida on this issue. I think persistence, you know, has to be continued in order to see a payoff. So I don't think anybody's walking away from this.
Now, critics rattle off a bunch of problems they have with a Medicaid expansion. They call it bad coverage, poor access to many drugs. Fewer doctors take Medicaid around the country, including Florida. Federal government says it's paying for most of it, all of it at first, and then 90% of it. But still, That's still taxpayer money. It's just coming from the federal government rather than the state. So, Eric Brown, what about that? What about Medicaid expansion and the coverage you get?
I don't see it happening, especially with a Republican-controlled legislature. I don't see it happening. There are good arguments on both sides. I think the key to making this work on a state level and at the federal level is for both parties to sit down and talk, and that's not what's happening. There's lots of room for improvements, and until both parties decide to sit down and talk openly about making the system better, this is what we're stuck with. The other thing is, in 2016, we got a new president coming in, and with the change, whether we have a Democrat or Republican president, I think you may see some changes on the Democratic side. If we get a Republican president, we may have to start over again. But I think the people, the elected officials need to listen to the people of the country. And if they did that, I think there's an opportunity for improvement versus starting over again.
Jody Ray, you've been overseeing the Health Insurance Navigator since day one. So that's, what, 3 years now that you've been doing this. And you predicted several weeks ago that enrollment would be a bigger challenge this year. Why is that exactly?
Well, you know, I think because it was really easy in the first 2 years to sort of cast a wide net in terms of how we were going to reach people. I think now it's a time to start focusing on some of those folks that didn't get caught up in that net in the first time with some of those more general messaging, more general information dissemination. And now we really have to focus on those folks that don't necessarily get their information in the most traditional ways and folks that need their information in other languages and you know, maybe they're not sitting on the internet all the time, or those young adults that have a tendency to be resistant to seeing the value in having health insurance. So we really have to push the messaging out that, you know, those are folks that need it more than ever. They have, you know, special needs that as growing adults need could be met by having health care coverage. Those preventive services are going to be really important to those young adults that are starting out on their own, that don't necessarily have those stable incomes where unexpected health care issue could really dismantle their stability financially.
Now, Eric Brown, President Obama told WUSF News that it's becoming more difficult to find people who are uninsured. And admittedly, there are a lot more people with insurance these days. But you sense that might be the reason you can't sign up more people because most people have already signed up for something.
I see the biggest issue is education. What happens is, I was talking to one of the major health carriers here in Florida, and their premiums went up over 10%. And I asked them why, and they said because people now with major medical insurance are still using the emergency room, and that drives up costs when that occurs. So I said, well, what are you going to do about it? He said, well, we're just going to raise the premiums, and then we're going to not offer as many plans as we did last year. I said, well, to me, that's an opportunity to educate people about what they have and how to use it versus, mm-hmm. you know, raising the premiums again. So I see education not just on the individual side, also on group health insurance. Same thing, employers, one of their major difficulties is when they offer plans to their employees, employees don't understand what they have, and lots of times when it's time for them to use the plan, they'll end up in having financial problems is because they don't know what they purchased at the time.
We are talking about Obamacare as the third year for open enrollment is underway, and we'll get down to the how-tos here in just a moment and take a closer look at the plans that are available and the costs, deductibles, all sorts of things people are asking about when we continue. I'm Carson Cooper. This is Florida Matters. Open enrollment is once again underway for health insurance plans under the Affordable Care Act. My guests are Jody Ray, Program Director for Florida Covering Kids and Families at USF. She oversees the healthcare.gov navigators across the state. Eric Brown is an insurance agent at Brown Insurance Group in Tampa, and WUSF News Director and Editor of Health News Florida, Mary Shedden. So, Jody, there are four types of plans. There's bronze, silver, gold, and platinum, and I guess that loosely translates to cheap, a little better, a little more better, and best, right?
Yes, yes. And you know, what will end up happening is you'll see as you go through – you know, across the board, you know, the out-of-pockets will be higher potentially as you go through some of those plans. And it really does depend. I mean, we see folks who have been interested in a platinum plan, the premium might be higher, but the rest of their out-of-pockets can be much smaller. Things like the co-pays, co-insurance, the deductibles can be smaller. So we try to make sure that we're balancing that out, and they're able to look at, you know, compare sort of an apples to apples on that.
Are the biggest differences among the plans the price, the deductibles, or the coverage?
Well, you know, it for us, when we're talking to a consumer, it depends on what the priority is for the consumer. You know, we've seen some where financial cost is not necessarily what they consider their priority. So, you know, if you get a student, maybe a young student, a lot of times we're seeing some really great options for them, and they're going into silver plans where they get the cost sharing in addition to the tax credits. So it reduces further their out-of-pocket costs, and they can get what potentially looks like a platinum plan in the silver plans with all of those discounts. And I've seen folks who will pick a platinum plan and they're more interested in the zero deductibles and the low copays. It now, just really depends.
You're out there talking to folks, I imagine, just about every day. And I have to believe one of the common questions you get is, can I keep my doctor? Is my doctor in this plan's coverage area? What about hospitals? So how do they find out about that from the get-go?
You would think that that was a common question. And we do see that. But we see so many folks who have never had health insurance. So the idea that they already had a medical home isn't necessarily the case. So one of the things that we have to discuss with them is that idea that your medical home is no longer the hospital. You know, don't take your car to go for your preventive care to the hospital, but you want to be able to use that. And how do you identify a physician, make an appointment, get established with a primary care. We've seen people have special health care needs, some particular health care needs. We're working with, you know, for example, the ADAP program, the AIDS Drug Assistance Program, or people have cancer and they need to see a particular – be able to use a particular facility. So you have to hone in on that.
Eric Brown, subsidies, tax subsidies. Now, of course, you know, folks can be eligible for them at healthcare.gov. What about you? When somebody comes to an agent, may they also qualify and receive a tax subsidy if they're eligible for it?
Absolutely. It all works the same. The only way you can get a tax subsidy is through healthcare.gov. And there's also an additional plan. In addition to the metallic plans, there's a catastrophic plan. And you have to be under 30 or under to get that plan, or you can have a financial hardship and qualify for that plan as well. In order for you to get a subsidy, it's based on your income. And for those individuals or family who have an income that's under 250% of the federal poverty level, they also qualify for what's called a cost-sharing subsidy as well. So in addition to your premiums being lowered, your out-of-pocket costs are reduced considerably as well if your income is below 250% of the federal poverty level.
Jody Ray, for some reason, I sense that a lot of folks still don't know about these subsidies, and they question whether they're even eligible. They may not even ask about them. Is that correct? I mean, do a lot of people still just kind of ignore those?
I don't know that they ignore them. I think that that's one of the messages we're really trying to get out there is there is help. Financial help with paying for having coverage. I mean, for example, you can pay that penalty, which is going to be extraordinary this year, $695 or 2.5% of your income. That's, you know, per person, per adult, and $347.50 per child. I mean, there is a cap, but it's over $2,000 per family. Mm-hmm. You know, so people were hit hard. I think they were surprised that more people ended up qualifying for the percentage than even the minimum, because it's whatever, it's higher. With that same cost, you actually can get, you know, eight months of health coverage with preventive services, many of them with no additional cost out of pocket, or you can pay the penalty and get nothing for that. So, you know, we want people to know that it's more expensive not to have the coverage, and that with these tax credits, with these cost sharing, we've enrolled students for under $20 a month for full coverage.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you suddenly realize there's a bigger financial benefit, really, to having the health care coverage.
Mary Shedden, about half folks get their health plans through their employer. What happens if the employer offers health benefits? Is anyone else in the family eligible for the tax credits at healthcare.gov?
Well, if you have an employer-based plan and it is less than 9% of your total income, that's the plan you need to go to, and then you would not be eligible on healthcare.gov. But you could, just like anybody who has those plans, you can exclude your spouse. You can exclude your kids. You have that option. Many folks include their whole family. But if that is an option where, say, a spouse wants to go on healthcare.gov, they could do that. I'm not quite sure if they would qualify, however, for a subsidy. They would not. And so it gets a little tricky. And that's why the conversations need to be taking place, is families are trying to figure out what's best for them. And I think that we're getting more educated as a public about having health insurance. But now it's understanding the different elements of, one, signing up, but then the cost after that.
Eric Brown.
I was going to add one statement that on the employer coverage, if the employer coverage is more than 8%, costs more than 8% of the household income, those that can't get the coverage can get exemptions. So while they can't get the tax credits, they can at least qualify for an exemption in that case and not be penalized.
Eric Graham?
There's a little bit more to that as well. There's an affordability clause, which is a 9.5%, and also the plans that are offered by the employer have to meet the minimum essential requirements as well.
Mm-hmm.
So if those standards aren't met, then that person can go to the marketplace and purchase a plan and also get tax credits. Also, if the plans offered by the employer meet those standards, then the employee can still go to the marketplace and purchase a plan. However, they won't qualify for the subsidies. So that's what the differences are.
Jody Ray, the rate increases for Obamacare plans vary from state to state. HHS says most consumers will see increases in the single digits and in many cases can still find plans for under $100 a month. Where does Florida stand with these rate increases?
Well, it kind of depends on the area. I know in the Tampa Bay area they actually went down slightly. So it really depends on the area of the state overall. I'm not sure what the full percentage is.
In terms of the plans that are offered for 2016, the Office of Insurance Regulation said overall, not including how much subsidy you'd be eligible for, it was about a 9% overall increase on plans. But that doesn't factor in if you were eligible for any kind of subsidy. So it's really, again, whenever you're dealing with insurance, the math gets really tricky and there's pages and pages of clauses.
Eric Brown, one of the big complaints we hear is that these deductibles are just through the roof. What's the deal with deductibles and copays?
It's all about costs, and not just on healthcare.gov. Employer plans are the same. The out-of-pocket costs are extremely high. In addition to that, what employers are doing is they're shifting any cost onto their employees. So if there's an increase, which there will be one every year, the employees are usually stuck with the handling those additional premiums. And what we're finding also, voluntary benefits are on the rise now to help fill those gaps. And a way for the carriers to control their costs, they restrict the networks.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like a shell game. You can enroll in a plan and you can see your doctor. You can go online and look at your doctor, and you'll see them there. Call the doctor, and the doctor will say, oh, I don't take this plan anymore. So You got to kind of really stay on top of that. I highly encourage anyone, before you enroll, check the network to make sure the availability of whatever doctors that you use are there.
I would also encourage folks who have employer-based plans to do the same thing. Networks are getting more narrow every year with insurance companies because they're trying to recalibrate the economics of the change of having 17 million more Americans with insurance. The fact is that that can change every single year, whether you're on healthcare.gov, have an employer-based plan, or Medicare. Your doctor may change. And really, the best way to do that is to talk to that doctor. Don't just assume what you see on a computer screen. And that's, again, taking ownership in your healthcare.
The question of the entire show here, Tazia Stagg reached out to us on Facebook and asked about deadlines. She says she gets emails from healthcare.gov saying they suggest December 15th is a deadline. So clear us up on these deadlines. I mean, I hear so many of them. I mean, what is the deadline?
So the deadlines are really important, and that's the thing we need people to know. To make changes or sign up for coverage to take place as of January 1st, you have to do this by December 15th.
Wait. Okay. I already heard two dates there. So December 15th by January 1st.
To get January 1st coverage or a January 1st change in your plan. To get enrolled during this enrollment period, the deadline is January 31st.
Okay. And what's the deadline to avoid any tax penalty?
January 31st.
The 31st.
Because open enrollment closes after January 31st. And so those people, even though their coverage won't start till after January, they will be able to avoid the penalties. And also, in addition, to be clear, there are people who qualify to enroll after open enrollment closes. We know that people turn 26 every day, they get married, they get divorced, they have kids, any of these things. They change jobs. And those things will allow them to enroll throughout the year as well.
So any life-changing event, obviously, you're able to – and maybe some procrastinators are hoping for a big computer crash so that the deadline gets moved like it did last time, right? Jody Ray, Program Director for Florida Covering Kids and Families at USF. Eric Brown with Brown Insurance Group in Tampa and WUSF News Director and Editor of Health News Florida, Mary Shedden. Thank you all so much for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You can find much more about health coverage, the Obamacare marketplace, and this year's changes, including price comparison tools at WUSFnews.org. Click on the Florida Matters link. And for continuing coverage of health news, visit our website, healthnewsflorida.org. Florida Matters is produced by Lottie Watts, engineered by Craig George, and is a production of WUSF Public Media. I'm Carson Cooper. Thanks for listening.